We turn in the scriptures this morning to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Our text this morning is found in verses 1 and 2 of this psalm. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A new year has come again. The old year gone forever. Just as when the old year ended, we reflected on deeds done and circumstances past. Just as we reflected on the fact that we had our troubles in the past and now have placed them in the past, now in the new year, you and I are called to look forward in hope and reassurance in this year to come that God is our God forever and ever. We are called in the midst of the uncertainty and the turmoil of this present world to look forward. To look forward in confidence and in hope to the coming of Jesus Christ at the end of time. And that is our intention also this morning as we look at the new year that stretches before us. We want the Word of God to give us, well, a renewed zeal to abide in the calling unto which each and every one of us has been called. We wish to be assured that whatever confronts us in this new year to come, we will have no need of fear because God, after all, is our rock and our strong high tower. And that's too why we chose the psalm that we have before us this morning. David reveals his confidence in God throughout this short psalm that we have read. In verse 3, for example, David speaks of God as his shelter and his strong high tower. In verse 4, he speaks of abiding with God in God's dwelling place and under the covert of his wings, using another earthy example of little chicks that go under the covert of the wings of their mother hen. In verse 7, David confesses that his life and his years are in God's hands and that he will abide with God forever. So this psalm before us exudes confidence and assurance and trust in Jehovah God, the God who directs all the affairs of our lives. And so are the words of the verses that we consider now this morning as well, especially when David speaks of being led to the rock. Rock. A rock. A hard and a cruel element of nature. Makes a poor place to rest one's head if he has to lay him down to sleep. Rocks in the old dispensation were used as weapons flung by slings. Rocks were used by the people of Israel to stone people to death. All because that rock is solid and has an unyielding character. Its value in terms of money is nil. But the psalmist does not view the rock from that particular point of view. He views a rock from another perspective. When viewed in this way, a rock can be, well, a comforting and even a valuable part of God's creation. For example, if I were walking through a desert place with the sun scorching, and before me stands a large rock or boulder in the desert, I can find shade in that rock. Then I'm thankful that that rock is there so that I can get out of the scorching sun. Or, for example, and this is the one that the psalmist uses as well in the passage before us this morning, when carried down the rapids of a river towards certain destruction, when there's a large rock that is sticking out of that river to which I can grasp hold so that I don't get carried over the falls that are ahead of me, well, then we can cling to a rock for safety, and that rock becomes valuable to you and to me. So, in a certain sense, a rock is perhaps the most wanted and needed in those circumstances thing of life, and its price is beyond that of silver and of gold. And it is in that sense that we're going to consider that term rock also this morning, a rock that is higher than I. Then these verses will give us the assurance and confidence that we need to face the new year that lies before us. We look to the rock for stability, for security, for safety, and for calm. And that rock is Christ. We consider this morning, led to the rock, a heartfelt need, an assured answer, and a sure response. David calls our attention to the fact that a person's heart can oftentimes be overwhelmed with the burdens and the cares of this present life. An overwhelmed heart. A heart burdened with the cares of life to the point that oftentimes it is filled with despair. It is cast down, as the psalmist speaks of it in another psalm, and it is filled with doubt and the fear of life. No one desires a heart that is so filled with the cares and the anxieties of life that life begins to look dark and undesirable. Many things can give rise, of course, in our lives to an overwhelmed heart. Perhaps the greatest of these is the believer's struggle against his own or her own sin. Even as redeemed children of God who love God and seek Him in our lives, we realize that we fall far short of doing that, don't we? We don't love God and we don't seek God as we ought. We fall far short, therefore, of the glory of God in our own lives, and we can struggle so hard against sin. But sin, well, sin is like sticky flypaper. And we touch it with one hand, and we can't seem to get that sticky flypaper off of our hands, so we take our fingers and we get that hand off of the sticky flypaper, and then that other hand is stuck on that flypaper. Well, that's sin. We just cannot seem to get ourselves unstuck from sin. It sticks to you and to me. It cleaves to us. And we cannot seem to loose ourselves from sin in life. But God also sends us, in His providence now, other problems and difficulties in this life as well. Many of these come as a result of the curse of sin. Curse of sin in creation, the curse of sin in our own lives. We can wrestle with sickness, wrestle with disease that threatens to take our lives. We can wrestle with age and its infirmities, and we can wrestle with death itself. Some of us have suffered in these ways again in the past year. Some of us face them in the year to come as well. We're not free of these cares and burdens in life. There's a whole set of burdens that come as a result of sin in this world and sin in our own lives and in the lives of those whom we love and are close to. Sin can enter into family relationships. It can cause a rift between a husband and his wife. Sin can cause children to rebel over against their parents and against God. Sin causes strife in the church, a lack of respect for authority. There are troubles in the workplace and in the country in which we live. And all of us, to one degree or another, face these difficulties also in our lives. But what can make all of these burdens and cares worse is the uncertainty and the fear, therefore, of what the future holds for us. We do not know, beloved saints, what twists and what turns God will send us in the year 2018. We do not know, do we, what God has in store for us in this year to come. We do not know if it's going to hold health for us or whether it's going to hold sickness. We do not know whether we will live or whether we will die, because you realize that death is no respecter of persons or of age. What will become of our young son and our daughter in this year to come? What sorrows, what problems will the Lord perhaps bring in our own families or at work or in the churches of which you and I are members? And although we ought to leave those questions well enough alone, because after all, the future is held in God's hands, and God will direct the affairs of what will take place now in 2018. Although we ought to leave that future in the hands of our Heavenly Father, whom we know will care for us no matter what befalls us in this life, even though we know what Jesus Christ Himself teaches us very, very plainly in the Bible, take no thought for the morrow. And when we do this, well, that's sin in itself. Yet nevertheless, we are those who always seem to look at the future. What is the future going to hold? And we can become, well, somewhat overwhelmed by things that we do not even know are going to happen. And all of that's true, beloved saints, because the world in which you and I live, and here's the point now of the passage before us, the world in which you and I live is constantly in flux. It's constantly in a state of change. Life is always changing. Because this is true, our world is always characterized by a certain amount of instability and uncertainty. The psalmist teaches us, time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They die forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Time is like an ever-rolling stream. It keeps on moving. It never stands still. And everything in the world is eaten away by time. It rusts. It decays. Moths eat it. It gets old and worn out and thin. It dies. And nothing stays the same. Today, life may be heading in this direction, and just that quick, it can be turned, and we will be led in an opposite direction by God. And since all of these things are changing, one has a hard time finding any kind of stability in the things of this present world. In fact, he cannot find stability in the things of this present world. They won't make him permanently happy. Happiness, from that point of view, is so elusive, you know, because, well, our feelings change from one day to the next. In fact, if we are really going to describe our lives in this old world, then we would say that it's not just this rolling stream. It's the mad, rushing, swirling waters of the rapids of a river. We are in the midst of those waters, being carried along by the sheer force and power of those waters, which are, after all is said and done, the events of our lives in this world. We're just carried along by those events of our lives. And unless we are very young, we ask ourselves the question, where has 2017 gone? This year has sped by so quickly, one could hardly catch his breath. It seems like yesterday that we were standing or sitting here in God's house saying goodbye to the year 2016 and hello to the year 2017. And now here we stand again, or sit again, saying goodbye to 2017 and ushering in 2018. It seems like yesterday to the older saints that are sitting here anyway, that we were all worried about Y2K. And that when the year 2000 would roll around, whether everything was going to be boggled up because of the computer systems. That was 18 years ago. How time has sped by. Unbelievable. And that life rushes on is captured by the psalmist here. It's captured by that word overwhelmed. That term literally means to be covered over or engulfed. And again, it brings to mind, doesn't it, that rushing river, the events of our lives that are carrying us along from one year to the next. A picture that leaves us as one struggling to keep his or her head above the water so that he or she is able to breathe. He's constantly being pulled under, constantly being covered over by the circumstances of life. And in the meantime, we're being pulled along unto certain destruction because we know that at the end of that rapids is a waterfall. And that's quite a vivid picture of time that we receive here in the passage before us. Quite an appropriate picture, really, of our lives in the midst of this world. How time seems to rush all the faster as we grow older in life, or as we look for the coming of Jesus Christ at the end of time. Just no stability. No stability in the world. Nothing to grasp hold of in this present life that will give us purpose and direction. No peace, no happiness is found in the things of this present world because they're changing all the time. No permanent peace. So we see our need, do we not? As we stand on the morning of a new year, we see our need. We need something in this year to come that will draw us out of that water of life and give us this stability and security that we need to have in the year 2018. We need something, or we need someone who will quiet and who will ease our overwhelmed hearts and put them to rest. Something that will give ease to you and to me in all of the uncertainty of this present life. And since we cannot cry out to anything or anyone in this present world of change, we must, and we know that we must, cry out to the living God. We know that in God alone, the one who is ever the same, in God alone, we can find security in life. Because it's God alone who will draw us out of the swirling waters of this life and give to us the security and peace that needs to be found. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. You notice there the psalmist uses three different terms to describe the word cry. Now, it may not seem that way. It may seem as if he only uses two terms, cry and prayer. But actually, in the Hebrew anyway, there are two different words that are translated cry and then that word prayer. So those are the three terms. In the first place, the first term is used to describe our cry as a mournful wailing. A word that reveals just how overwhelmed at times our hearts can be in the troubles of life. And it's a cry that indicates our own spiritual understanding of where we stand in connection with all of the circumstances of life. We are weak. We are frail. Totally incapable of changing the course of our lives because God has set the course of our lives. So we understand our helplessness and we cry. We sob. That's what that word means. We cry aloud. We sob with tears. Second term for cry reveals that we know where we can receive aid, where we can go in order that our overwhelmed heart now might find peace and security. It reveals to us that in that cry that we send forth, we are seeking out assistance. And then that third term, prayer, used in our text, addresses the actual entreating of God for that assistance and that help in life. So you have a certain progression, you see, in those three terms that the psalmist uses here. In the first place, we see that the cry of the believer recognizes his need. Second, that he recognizes that God alone can supply that need. And then third, the believer turns to God and he pleads with God to fulfill that need. And all of that serves to teach us that truly God is the one who works that cry in our hearts. We would not even recognize the true spiritual point of view of life and its uncertainty and its instability if it were not for a work of God's grace in our hearts. How else would we seriously sit down and evaluate from a true spiritual point of view this life and how it changes and its uncertainty? If it were not for the work of the Spirit in our hearts, we would not be able to navigate this life and evaluate the anxiety and the care that we find oftentimes. And we would look to the things of this present world in order to find, well, some kind of a temporary fix to make us happy. That's what the world does, after all. They don't truly evaluate their need. It's only by God's grace that we truly evaluate our need. They'll satisfy themselves with just floating along that river, oblivious to the destruction that's awaiting them at the end of their lives or at the end of time. You and I don't want that. We see our need. If it weren't for the work of God's grace, we would see no need for God. We would simply ignore him. But because the Spirit of Christ works in our hearts, beloved saints, we with the psalmist say, hear my cry, O God. Hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer. I'll cry unto thee from the ends of the earth. And then that cry is answered. What is that answer? David tells us in our text that God leads him to the rock that is higher than he. Now that term lead implies two things. First, it implies a leading forth or out of. And the picture this draws for us is that God now reaches forth his almighty arm while we're rushing down the rapids of that river. God reaches forth his almighty arm and he takes hold of us and he pulls us out of the uncertainty and the unsurety of life. Pulls us out of the rapids of that river. And that's a reassuring thought as we face the year 2018. In fact, I think, anyway, that the thought is a rather thrilling one for the child of God. It reminds me of the picture that David draws for us in another one of the Psalms that he writes, Psalm 18. Rushing wildly down the rapids of that river of life, and we cry out frantically to God to save us. And that cry is feeble. And yet, God's ear is open to that feeble cry. And he hears it. So that the psalmist says now in Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And then the thrilling part of that is God's reaction to that cry of the believer when he hears you and me cry unto him. We read in verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. And then in 9 and 10, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And then a little later in verse 16, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. When God heard our cry, the heavens shook, and he rushed to that to you and me when he hears that cry. And then he draws us out of many waters. What a thrill to be held in the mighty hand of that sovereign God. What joy, what security, beloved saints. What assurance that gives to you and to me as we face another year, the year 2018. God always reaches forth his hand and always pulls forth his people out of that water. And he does that by leading us to a rock. There's the other meaning of that term, lead. It doesn't just simply mean lead me out of, but it means that God leads me to. And the place to which he leads us is that rock. We get the picture. We're rushing along the rapids of life, flailing because we're overwhelmed. God takes you and me, saves us, and he puts us upon a rock, and we lay there. Safe and secure. Because the rock doesn't move. Solid. Stable. And God does that. He takes you and me, pulls us out of that river of life, and he puts us on that rock. And what an overwhelming, to use that word once again, what an overwhelming sense of peace and confidence that that gives to our hearts, why should we be filled with fear? Because, after all, there is nothing as solid as that rock upon which you and I now rest. Now, I know, and in a certain sense, I have already identified that rock, but I'm sure when we read the scripture already this morning and read of that rock that is higher than I, first thing that came to our mind is that rock is Jesus Christ. And God leads us to that rock and he places us upon Jesus Christ himself. But you know, the psalmist in the Old Testament, David, did not as yet know personally Jesus Christ. You and I know of him because now he's come, but he hadn't come yet then. So when David identifies Jesus Christ, he identifies him for us in Psalm 18, once again, that second verse, where he says, Jehovah is my rock and my fortress, and so on. Jehovah is my rock. God is that unchangeable rock upon which we will stand once again in this year to come. A God who is forever the same. A God who never changes, as we noticed last night, and will never change his mind with respect to you and to me. A God who is ever faithful to that covenant promise that he made to you and me, that in this year to come, he will not leave us and he will not forsake us. He is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death, Psalm 48. But that rule of God over this world and over our lives, we know, is a rule through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Jesus Christ, we are told in Hebrews, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's just as stable as God is, the same, ever the same. So he's a rock. And we could say that Jesus Christ is that rock because after all is said and done, it was Jesus Christ who performed the work, didn't he, on our behalf. God in his faithfulness to us sent his Son into this world. Jesus Christ has taken upon him our sin, our guilt. He has paid the price for it. We have been redeemed in his blood, so we are brought back to God, and we are adopted to be God's very own children through his blood. When God picks us up, we see his face in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he puts us upon the rock, which is our Savior. Why would we wish to describe Christ as a rock in our lives? Simple, really. He is as firm and as sure for you and me in the past and in the future as is a rock. When everything else changes, Christ doesn't change. And when we rest in the bosom of our Savior, and by such rest in the bosom of our God himself, we don't have to worry about the rushing waters of life and the various circumstances that confront you and me, because we know that Christ and God will hold us safely there. Nothing is ever going to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will. And though we might be hammered in life with all of the problems and difficulties that confront us, God's arms are sure. And when we are held in those arms, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to worry about in the year 2018. We ought not to be filled with care and anxiety, because, after all, we lie in the arms of Almighty God and of his Son. That's why Christ is our rock. Because amidst all the uncertainty of life, Christ is always the same in His love for us, in His care for us, in His protection over us. He is always there. And if we wish to be taken from the rush of this life and all its insecurity, then all we have to do is find our haven of rest in Christ. How do we find it? How do we find it there in Christ? Because in the arms of Christ, we are assured, beloved saints, that no matter what happens in the future, God will take care of it. God will. And you know, when we live sometimes through the burdens of this life, and sometimes those burdens can be pretty heavy, we forget about that so quickly. We like to rely on our own arm of flesh, as if somehow we're going to be able to manage those burdens and those cares of life. And usually at that point, God chops us down rather quickly until we reach the stage where we're so weak that we have to cast it all upon the Lord. Kind of cuts down our pride rather quickly. With Christ, we can be assured that no matter what happens in this life, that we need not be afraid, because we're covered in the blood of our Savior. And we are the adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. And after all, if God is for us, then what or who can be against us? No one can be against us. Are we perhaps worried concerning the pain, the sorrow, the suffering we or a loved one is going to confront in this year to come? Are we filled with fear that perhaps even death might come as a result of that sickness or that suffering of our loved one? We need not be. We belong to God. Whether we live, we are God's. Whether we die, we are God's. When we live for Him. When we die in Him. And for us, life in Christ, life is Christ and death is gain. That's always the case for the child of God. We dwell in God's love here in this life. We'll dwell in God's love unto all eternity in the life that is to come. So we hear God say to us, "My beloved children, in the year 2018, don't fear, because I will never leave you. I will be that solid rock in your lives. I will. I love you after all, because you're my dearest children, and I love you. I have loved you from all eternity. That love isn't going to change. I'll love you in the year to come too. You're mine. You're mine. Please, you don't have to fear." One last thing we ought to notice in the words of our text yet this morning. There's a personal confession that David makes. He isn't talking about himself now together with a crowd of people. He isn't saying, "Lord, hear our cry." He's saying, "Lord, hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer from the ends of the earth. I will call unto thee." You don't think that David didn't have burdens in life and cares? His life was fraught with them. Can you imagine being hunted by the very king that you served? And that your life was that close to being taken away from you? Always? Can you imagine having a son that so rebelled against you in life that he was willing to kill you and take your kingdom away from you? And he chased you out of your throne and out of Jerusalem. Can you imagine a son doing that to you? Happened to David. Can you imagine the burden of the sin that he confronted when he sinned with Bathsheba, and how God's hand laid so heavy upon him in life? Lord, hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer. Personal, you see, very personal. And when David becomes overwhelmed, he turns to the rock that is higher than he. And he's assured that he will find the peace, the forgiveness, the security that he needs in his life. And he needed it. Well, it's that same assurance, beloved saints, that you and I seek now in the new year to come. We know that there will be times when our hearts are overwhelmed. Anyone sitting here this morning think that that's not going to happen in 2018? This year will prove you wrong. There will be burdens. There will be cares. But in confidence, we with David realize that God will hear us. Even when our cry is so feeble, God will hear us when we cry, because we are his children in Christ Jesus. And he will respond to our cry, because he is our God forever and ever. I don't care where we are when we cry. We can cry to God in our homes and upon our bed at night. We can cry to God when we're lying in a hospital bed. We can cry to God when we're standing before a loved one in a funeral home. And God will hear that cry. He will. And he will rush to our relief. That's our God. And with his mighty arm, he'll reach into this water when we're on the verge of drowning, and he'll pull us out. And he'll put us on the rock. We need never fear that in 2018. Believe it, people of God. Cling to the rock that is higher than we. Do it, and we'll find peace to our souls, because Christ is our rock. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word today. Wilt thou be with us to guide us also, that that word might lead and direct us in the new year to come, that we might in all of our cares and in all of our burdens cry unto thee, knowing that thou wilt hear us. Give unto us the joy, the assurance, that when we rest upon thee and we rest upon thy Son, then we need never fear the circumstances of life that we now confront in the year 2018. Indeed, we can joy in that salvation that we have received in Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins, even the sins of this morning hour. Keep us in thy grace now in this day and in the year to come. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.